The rock band Janoon, like a lot of bands, was started by a guy who'd seen Led Zeppelin when he was 11 and wanted to be like Jimmy Page. The difference is that Janoon came together in Pakistan. Its co-founder, Salman Ahmad, was living in the States at the time. The band, which includes guitarist Ahmad, a Pakistani lead singer, and an American-born bass player, has become a crossover success playing to sold-out audiences in India and here in the U.S. The New York Times called their music Pakistani rock mixed with religious rapture. Salman Ahmad is a practicing Muslim and has set to music Sufi poems and verses from the Quran. But within Pakistan, particularly in the northwest, fundamentalist mullahs have instituted Sharia law, a strict code of Islam which bans music and also requires women to wear veils. Ahmad set out to question the mullahs and find out what other Pakistanis think about the music ban. A new documentary, Janoon, the Rock Star and the Mullahs, traces his journey. It airs on the PBS series Wide Angle this Thursday night. Terry spoke with Salman Ahmad and asked him to describe the mullah's crackdown.
What they're doing is, you know, harassing people like musicians and poets and common people who travel on buses. You know, there's music being played in the buses. They've banned that. And they've also stopped music in restaurants, public places. It's kind of how it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we were banned by Nawaz Sharif. It wasn't a law, but they would just, you know, it'd be an unwritten law that you wouldn't allow concerts, you wouldn't allow people to get together in any public place and listen to music.
When you went to Peshawar, you spoke to some mullahs about music. What kind of arguments did they make for wanting to ban music? What did they tell you about the evils of music?
Well, the interesting thing is that they couldn't give me any documentary evidence from the Quran that where it says that music is prohibited in Islam. But they would come back with that, you know, music promotes promiscuity, it's vulgar, it leads to obscenity, and that's why it's haram in Islam.
Did you try to counter the arguments that the mullahs gave you about music?
Absolutely.
What would you say?
My answer was that the azan, the call to prayer, is in the harmonic minor scale, the Arabian scale. And it's got melody, it's got rhythm. And what do you say about that? They said, well, that's not music, that's just reciting. In fact, you'll see mullahs and Islamic students, the Taliban in madrasas, singing, but they don't call it singing. They say, we're reciting. So it's like self-deception and denial, which, you know, they hide behind that. And whenever they see someone who's posing questions or asking questions through the music, they'll come up with, you know, this is just westernized, or this is haram, this is prohibited. So they don't really have an argument, an Islamic argument for it.
I could see where Janoon would be exactly what fundamentalist leaders would be afraid of, because after all, you play these like big venues, the equivalent of like stadium concerts, where thousands of young people get together and have a good time. I mean, it's like the recipe for cultural rebellion, which is exactly what, you know, fundamentalist leaders do not want.
You know, Pakistan's been struggling for its soul, Terry. I believe the vast majority of Pakistanis who are Muslims, you know, who who may be even conservatives, but they don't agree with the mullah's version of Islam, which they feel is an alien implant of Islamic culture. You know, they look at it as coming from Saudi Arabia. Most of the Muslims living in Pakistan, they practice their Islam, which is, you know, you don't need a priest to go to. You have a direct personal relationship with God. But the mullahs have, through, you know, the last 30, 40 years, worked with military dictators, with Democrats, so-called Democrats, and they just have a very heavy presence in the country. I believe them to be this sort of lethal minority of thugs who just, you know, like a mafia, they harass people.
When you were growing up, what was your family's approach to Islam?
Well, my mother moved in 1947. She came from India. And my father is from Lahore. And they've always had music, you know. My mother had a mass collection of, you know, records which were from traditional sources, modern sources, you know, Jewish folk music. There was never ever a question in our, you know, both my grandparents' house, that, you know, that we have to cloister ourselves or, you know, separate ourselves from the rest of the world. In fact, my mother was 16 years old, and she saw this ad in the paper of American Field Services offering this opportunity for, you know, Pakistani students to come to America and spend a year there and, you know, go to high school. And she proposed it to my grandparents, and, you know, they had no problem. This was in the early 60s. My mother came to Oakland, California, lived with an American family, was eventually prom queen. And you know, I have got a lot of the letters that she exchanged with her, you know, with her mother at that time. There was never a question of, you know, that there's some struggle between Islam and Christianity or Islam in America. And this is something which is, you know, I think being planted in the minds of people through, I think a lot of it has to do with getting political power. A lot of it has to do with wanting to keep people in the dark.
You moved with your family to the United States when I think you were in high school.
Junior high school.
Your father worked for an airline, so your family lived all over the world for a while. So when you lived in the United States, you heard Led Zeppelin and fell in love with the band and their music, and that kind of set you in a new direction. What did you hear in Led Zeppelin that you found so life-changing?
Well, it was, first of all, I mean, I was 11 years old, and my friend's elder brother took us to the Madison Square Garden. And this is back in 77. And, you know, I mean, just first rock concert, and you see a guy on stage with, you know, Jimmy Page, double neck guitar, long hair. You know, he's got dragons painted on his pants. And, you know, just that image just totally blew my mind, you know. And I just decided, you know, I want to become that.
You returned to Pakistan with your family in 1982. And this was during the era that the Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan, and that was having an impact on the whole region. After you returned to Pakistan, you know, modeling yourself on heavy metal bands, learning how to play guitar, changing the way you looked, what kind of adaptations did you have to make when you got back home?
You know, it was in the middle of a military dictatorship, which is supported by the United States, General Zia-ul-Haq, who, for me, in his 11 years of rule, he set back that country 100 years. But because he was, you know, allied with the United States and fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan, you had basically, you know, the darkest age in Pakistan's history. At that time, we wanted, you know, we had no youth entertainment. We were in college, and what we do is just play music for ourselves. As long as we covered Western songs, you know, we were singing, you know, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA or Bon Jovi or whoever, it didn't bother the establishment or the mullahs. It's just that when we started singing original music and reaching out to a wider audience, that's when they thought that, you know, this is You know, we got to put an end to this. And I remember the first time we did a talent show, a lot of these extremists came and they broke the instruments, they broke the furniture, similar to actually what's happening in Peshawar now. This is like a bad nightmare which keeps repeating.
In 1987, there was a nationwide songwriting contest to write a patriotic song, and you actually won the contest with a song called We Love Pakistan. What were the lyrics? Can you give us an English translation?
Well, I mean, it's a really soppy lyric, but it just, what it did do was that it's really difficult to have a literal translation, but in a nutshell, it said, you know, we are Pakistani, we love Pakistan, and we're modern. And the video that went along with that actually showed us, you know, just driving around in Jeeps, wearing jeans, T-shirts, and it, you know, accidentally got on air because it was a national song. And I guess the mullahs who were in the censor board didn't even look at it because they figured, you know, normally a national song is, you know, 20, 30 people, kids standing like zombies and saying, we love Pakistan. They didn't look at this video. Video got out, and just overnight, it just ignited something in people. I remember going back to college, and, you know, you'd be stopped everywhere, recognized, asked for autographs. And it was the first ever, like, pop song from a pop band, which, you know, became number one. And that made me think, you know, that you could really bring a lot of change through music. Subsequently, which, you know, I left Vital Signs and formed Janoon to do that.
So what are the members of Vital Signs doing now? Are they still playing music?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, the lead singer, Vital Signs was like a boy band, you know, and a lot of girls, you know, a lot of adulation from girls. The lead singer, Junaid, he's been sort of been worked on by religious fundamentalists, and they've told him that, you know, you should become a Pied Piper for Islam, you know, not for music. And there's a lot of confusion in his head, and that's happened in the last couple of years.
So he's thinking of giving up music?
He's confused. I mean, you know, he's confused with this thing that how could it be that what I'm part of and where I earn my money from is not part of my faith? And I've had deep discussions with him. And, you know, at the end of the discussion, what happens is a guitar comes out and he starts singing. But then again, you know, when he goes back to his life, you know, the mullahs are just around him and they just surround him.
Do you feel like your day-to-day life, or the day-to-day world around you has changed a lot since September 11th?
I felt a paradigm shift in my consciousness. I mean, you know, here were two of my worlds, Karachi and New York, colliding with each other, and this hate virus spreading everywhere, in all directions. And then, you know, you realize, oh God, you know, these terrorists belong to, you know, Islam. I mean, you know, they belong to my faith. And now everybody's thinking that, you know, my faith has to do with terrorism. I mean, you know, people rushing to conclusions. It changed my life, I think, forever. And in a way that, you know, I never sort of was prepared for. And I'm still trying to make sense of it. Because while in Pakistan, I have to fight with, you know, the mullah mentality, when I go outside of the Pakistan, you know, you're being looked upon with deep suspicion. You know, you say you're a Muslim and, you know, all of a sudden the whole atmosphere changes. I mean, we tour in America, just finished a tour. It's really difficult to be natural anymore. And
What do you mean?
Well, in the sense that, you know, you start a conversation with strangers. I mean, if you're waiting for a plane or, you know, you're in a restaurant and people look at you and they look at your name being Salman. It's like this, you know, they're hesitant. In the United States, there's a lot of fear in the United States. I mean, after 9/11, there's a lot of fear of, you know, what's out there. And similarly, in Pakistan and the Islamic world, there's a lot of fear about the United States. And in between, like, I'm straddling these universes and trying to sort of bridging it for myself, you know, for my own sanity.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Terry Gross speaking with Salmad Ahmad, lead guitarist of the band Janoon. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer this week is Roberta Shorrock. Our interviews and reviews are produced by Naomi Person, Phyllis Myers, Amy Sallet, Monique Nazareth, and Marie Baldonado, with Patty Leswing, Jessica Chu, and Ian Chillog. Sue Spolin directed the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies. Now here's Janoon's No More. The words come from a poem a New Yorker named Polar Levine gave Salmad Ahmad after the events of September 11th. Choking.